Good morning. Today is Friday, October 25th, 2024, and the time is 8:30. I now call the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Rosie Morris has informed me that she's not feeling well and will not be able to attend this morning's meeting. In her place, Finance Commission Chairman Philip Holt will be in attendance. Philip Holt, are you present?
Present.
Commissioner Osborne?
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you'll need to complete the witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on August 16, 2024. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on August 16, 2024?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item B. Commissioner Cooper, would you please give us your report?
Madam Chair, so on page 7, we have the trust activity, the audit activity report for the Department of Banking. The only thing we have going right now would be the comptroller's follow-up report on post-payment audit, and it's still in process.
All right. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you. And for the Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner, our report's on page 8, and there's two items listed there. The one audit is in process. The other is a long ago pending audit that we're still waiting on a follow-up for future audit. And then we also had one other item that we didn't put on here, but we should have, is the internal audit has started. The risk assessment is underway, which you should receive those reports at our December meeting, we hope.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Ritta?
Yes, thank you. Page 9 is the savings and mortgage lending report. The first item is the update on the mortgage grant fund that was completed. It has been formalized and all in place, so the recommendations were followed. And then on the others, they're all in progress that we show the Comptroller of Public Accounts on the post-payment and procurement audit, and then on the expenditure processing. And then with the Texas Workforce Commission, the Personnel Policy and Procedural System Review. Those are all in various stages. Then the last one we do list is the annual risk assessment, as Commissioner Littlejohn just mentioned, and that is also in progress. And in December, we'll hear from that. That's my report.
Thank you. We will now move on to item C. Commissioner Cooper?
All right. Begins on page 10. We have no seized funds. On page 11 would be the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund. You will see the activity there on deductions. We had $110,000 restitution that was received from the El Paso Mission Funeral Home, and that money was refunded to the purchasers. And then there was $27,000 restitution collected from Kevin Kelly and the Howell Duran Funeral Home. And that was forwarded to the new permit holder that we had to take over that activity, ending in a book balance of about $1.5 million. And you can see where the money is. Most of it is in the Texas Treasury safekeeping. On page 12 would be the insurance-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund. Normal activity with interest received, ending in a balance of a little over $1 million, and that's our report.
Thank you. Commissioner Pettijohn.
I'd like to call upon Moran Diamond to provide the report for the CCC.
You, Commissioner. Good morning. Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The Investment Officer report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner starts on page 13 of your packet. As you will see, normal activity in the recovery fund. Moving to page 14, you will, for the TIFI endowment, you will notice approximately $46,000 in a transfer to cover grant disbursements with overall growth of about $336,000 in the portfolio in Q4. Answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Ritter.
Yes, on page 15 and 16 is a report from Savings and Mortgage Lending. The report here, of course, is on all the cash equivalents and then on where it is invested. You will note that the one CD that we had matured on the 18th of this month and this week is being repositioned and put into the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust and at the higher rate that is available. And then on page 16, we have the mortgage grant fund report. It shows the balances in the mortgage grant fund report and it as well as in the Texas Treasury Safekeeping.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2024 fourth quarter investment officer reports?
So moved. Philip Holt.
Second, David Osborne.
Any discussion?
So moved.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item D. Commissioner Cooper.
Our report starts on page 17. Sammy, would you, Sammy Chadley, elect him to present our report?
Good morning. On page 17 is our operating statement for the fourth quarter for fiscal 24. Our actual revenues are 156.3% of budget, while our actual expenditures are at 79% of budget. I'll go over more detail on pages 18 and 19, which show our various explanations. So I'll go over a couple of items on the next pages. First one, under bank and trust regulation, our actual revenues were higher than budgeted due to a partial assessment in the fourth quarter. For FY24, the first three quarters were reduced by 20%, and the fourth quarter was reduced by 40%, still resulting in an overage. Under penalties for non-depository supervision, the variance is due to the higher than anticipated collected penalties, mainly from unlicensed money services businesses. On the expenditure side, under employee compensation and benefits, we have a positive variance in at least the vacant staff positions, which were 10 in the administrative side and 18 in the examiner side as of August 31st, so a total of 28 vacancies. Next item is professional services. We have a positive variance there, and that's due to lower expenditures than budgeted for investigator fees and also fees for a state auditor's office audit that did not occur, IT-related work, and architect services that did not occur either. The last item on page 19, under information technology, we have a negative variance, and that is due to higher than anticipated Oracle cloud infrastructure and computer supplies and accessory costs. That variance was offset by a laptop order that was partially fulfilled and lower than expected Microsoft Office 365 cloud services. Any questions so far?
Can I ask a question real quick? As you upgrade your laptops and computers, what do you do with the obsolete models?
Oh, with the obsolete ones, so pretty sure there's a four-year replacement cycle. So what we do is we surplus those, and there's a process for surplusing them. We have to advertise them on the state system, okay. State property accounting.
Is it a bulk sale?
Yes. Well, for laptops, for items that are bagged, those have to be advertised individually. And then we have lots of keyboards and mice.
And then those are made available other agencies or school districts or others could potentially...
Usually
asked to acquire them.
Okay.
Usually TDCJ will actually
pick those up
to work on.
Recycle them or whatever.
So on page 20 is our liquidity report. We show unreserved cash at 4.33 months. Again, that's still within the liquidity policy. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like Moran Diamond to please provide our report.
Thank you, Commissioner. So starting on page 21 of your packet is the fourth quarter financial statement for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I just want to highlight a few items from the variances on the following page. First, starting with revenue, overall revenues at the end of fiscal year 24 were at 110% of the budget. Consumer lending was over our budget in that industry, as remains the case as it has been for the last couple of quarters, primarily due to late filing fees for a company that reinstated. And again, miscellaneous revenues 55% over the budget due to interest earned on fund balances. Moving to expenditures, the fiscal year ended at about 92% of the budget for expenditures. Professional services were 54% under the budget due to lower costs for legal services for the year, legal and architectural services for the year. And information technology was under budget as well due to timing and scope of certain IT projects. Moving to the liquidity report on the next page. So total unreserved cash at the end of the period was approximately $3 million, with 4.3 months of operating costs available at the end of the fiscal year, which is within the guidelines set forth by the Finance Commission. Happy to answer any questions on those.
Thank you. Commissioner Reda.
Yes, beginning on page 24, and Antonia Antoff, Director of Operations, will provide a report.
Good morning. Antonia Antoff for Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our report begins on page 24. Our revenues for the fiscal year 24 are at 3.9% over budget. The excess is primarily from depositor interest of our funds being deposited in safekeeping trust, high interest rates than budgeted. Our expenditures for the year are over 10% under budget, and the biggest reason for that is unfilled vacancies. More details are provided on page 25 on the budget variances. And our liquidity report is on page 26. We have finished the fiscal year with a little bit over $4 million in unreserved funds, and this is represents 4.75 months of reserves, which is in compliance with the Finance Commission policy. And
any questions?
I'll be happy to address any questions.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2024 fourth quarter financial statements?
Motion to approve, David Osborne.
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item E. Commissioner Pettijohn, please give us your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is our report relating to the Texas Financial Education Endowment. I'd like to ask Christine Graham to come forward and provide a report.
Good morning, Christine Graham, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'm on page 27 of your packet and wanted to give you a brief update on activities related to the Texas Financial Education Endowment. The first thing I wanted to mention is that we have hired a new grant coordinator. Her name is Trishayla Wilson. She's here today, and we're very excited to have her. And she came on board at the beginning of September, and we're bringing her up to speed and getting her trained. She's already done a site visit for one of our grant recipients and is excited to be on board, and we're very happy to have her. The other couple of things I wanted to mention, if you look at your packet, is there are two separate update reports for you. The first report begins on page 28 of your packet, This is a semi-annual report for the first period of our current grant cycle. It provides you an overview with some of the work that our grant recipients are doing. We've got some great grant recipients out there doing a lot of really good work. A couple of things I wanted to mention, and although they're all really great, but some that are new to us have done some good work called Pockets Change is one of them. They're on page 35. They do a hip hop fin fest for high school students who they win awards and do YouTube videos and all these things. It's a great way to spread financial education. And the other one I wanted to mention, just to kind of give you a heads up, is Panhandle Community Service didn't have any activity this first period. They're in the Panhandle and there were some really bad wildfires. And so they really focused and shifted towards recovery for that, but now they're moving forward with their TV work. And then on page 37 is the impact report for our 2022-2023 TV cycle. This is a little bit more of an in-depth report that goes over the entire 2 years of the grant period. A couple of highlights on this is by the numbers on page 44, almost 400,000 grant funds were dispersed to nearly 26,000 Texans, or almost 26,000 Texans, with over 36,000 hours of contact. So we appreciate the Finance Commission supporting the TV grant, and it's doing really great work and really making a difference out there. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but that's all I have.
I think this is one of the signature programs for the Finance Commission, and we're very pleased to be a part of it. I was also going to mention the timing of this report is that the grantees from this cycle have to file a six-month post-grant cycle report. And so we take kind of what impact did their grant have over, you know, 6 months after. And so we take all that information and prepare this into a report. So that's the timing and how that,
yeah, that works. Sort of at the end of everything, how much did, you know, did TV make a difference? So,
all right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kristen.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. Item F is next. Commissioner Retta, please give us your report.
Yes, on page 61 is the update on the mortgage grant fund activities. Just a couple of high points. We did finish the third semi-annual reporting and reimbursement period, and the reimbursements for the period totaled a little over $108,000. We have received 21 applications for the 2025-2026 grant cycle. The Mortgage Grant Advisory Committee has met earlier this week and will meet again before the end of the month with their observations and recommendations on the applications received. One thing perhaps worth noting too is one of the points we wanted to try to see this year is an expansion in the geographic diversity of the grantees and potentially the ones that are with the applicants and then potentially the grantees. As you can see by the small map that's inserted in here, we even reached out to far West Texas, out to El Paso. So we're pleased to see that we had an expansion in the geographic diversity of the applicants. And that's the report.
Thank you. All right, we will now move on to item G. The Finance Commission of Texas agencies will not require an executive session for item G. So that will conclude our meeting. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 8:48 a.m.